In Acts chapter 1, they asked the Lord, will you again restore Israel? Because they were wanting basically the David and Solomon era. They wanted to come out from under occupation. They were looking for their king. And he's standing in front of them in a resurrected state. He said, how much more? You're resurrected. You're perfect to be a king. And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father's put under his authority. He didn't tell them it wasn't going to happen. He just said, this is not for your generation, is what he was saying. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. He was really birthing a new creation in the earth, a new seed. And then Acts chapter 2 comes along, and very powerful. I actually want you to open your Bible on this one, because a lot of people don't see this one. I got to get back where we're going to be today. And so Peter's first message, this was given to him the Lord in the resurrected state. He opened the word to him and he showed him this was where it was spoken to me. And so he's speaking where the Lord showed him these things, and he's speaking this first message. It's very amazing what the first message he decides to speak. In verse 28, he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David. Verse 29 of Acts 2, freely speak to you of the patriarch David, who's both dead and buried in his sepulchre is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him. It's very important we understand the generation we live in and what's happening. That in the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He never did that in the earth. Jesus never sat on the throne of David in the earth. But he sits on the throne of David now. Because notice what it says, which was really remarkable. Verse 31, he seeing this, David saw that he would raise up Christ on his throne. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell. He did not see corruption. In other words, he's seeing through the resurrection, he sat upon the throne of David, which means God took that earthly throne in all the glory to get that earthly throne into the earth. That didn't start with David. That started back with Abraham. A whole lineage of birthing out of a nation, of a mountain that would produce the crown, Mount Hebron. And that throne, God reassigned it into the heavenlies. He took something in the natural and he brought it up into the spirit. That's phenomenal, because that gives a new meaning to all of us, what means by riches and glory. He said, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. This day I've begotten thee. Ask of me the nations as thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth as thy possession. Which means all of that went up. Amen. And they all witnessed his ascension in this plumb line I'm going to speak about today. Which means he's going to bring it back down. If he brought it up, he's going to bring it down. Because Isaiah is very clear in the word of God. He said, the increase of his government and peace unto us was given. A child is born, a son was given. And the increase of his government and peace, there's no end. Say no end. Upon the throne of David to establish it henceforth, now and forever. So God is intending on reestablishing that throne in the earth. He's bringing it all back. In fact, he's going to bring it back through the church age. And that Revelation chapter 3 tells us that by him that has the key to the house, say the key to the house, house of David, he's going to open and no man can shut it. He's going to give it to the church age. We know the church of Philadelphia, this is the last day church. God said it was. He goes, because you've kept the word of my perseverance, the word of my patience, I'll keep you from the hour of tribulation coming upon the whole earth. He's speaking of the 7-year tribulation. He goes, this is a church age. You'll be kept from that. Say kept. So we know it's a lie. I don't want to get into dumb theology right now, but we know he's going to open this house to a church age. In fact, he goes on to say in Revelation 3, a crown was given. Say a crown was given. And he says, let no man take your crown. There was no other church of the seven given a crown in the earth. They were promised a crown if they kept it. Like Smyrna says, you keep your life to the very end, you'll have a crown in glory. But this one was given to the earth, which means God was bringing this back into the earth. And there's so much to say about that. But today I want to focus more on this house or what I call the plumb line of how he's bringing this and how he started this. The plumb line didn't start you can even see it, Lord. Go to Zechariah 4 real quick, if you would. And then I'm going to get back and I'll show you something here. It's really powerful. Because we're in a day. All this is returning, and God's returning it through the same avenue that he birthed it. He brought it up. He's bringing it down with the same avenue. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. I love it. That's a picture back there, by the way, of a plumb line. What is a plumb line? Well, let me say this and then I'll get into a little bit of this. Verse 10, all Zechariah 4 is an end time prophetic chapter with multi-layered revelations. It has so much in there. In fact, God gave me this chapter. I was about a year old with my Pampers on. And he highlighted this chapter to me. And in fact, I'm going to tell you how long I've been carrying this word. He highlighted because it talks about the olive trees and the seven spirits of God. And it talks about going into all the earth. And he says, my glory will go into all the earth before your life is over. He goes, it'll go into the seven continents of the earth. I said, well, there's not seven continents. I was arguing with the Lord. So I know this is not God. So there's nine continents. I told you I had my Pampers on, right? So what would you normally do? Well, these days you just ask Siri, you know. In those days, there was no internet yet. This is how long we've been carrying this. So if you wanted to know something, you had to either go to the library. I mean, that just, you know. So I called the librarian because I didn't want to drive over there. I said, tell me how many continents there are. She said, seven. I'm like, get behind me. Hung the phone up. So I knew this was a God thing. The seven continents of the Lord, the seven spirits of God covering the earth. And it's an end time picture. But he says something really remarkable here. I can't get into all this today. But verse 10, he says, who hath despised the day of the small beginnings, or despise not the day? You've heard this scripture speak. He said, for they shall rejoice and see the plumb line in the hand, say the hand or hands. Because he speaks of hands earlier. The hands, in verse 9, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this latter-day house. His hands do finish. He said, they shall see, the plumb line in the hands. Zerubbabel is the type of Christ. He's the king. This is talking about his return. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord that go to and fro the whole earth. So they'll see the plumb line. The plumb line is an instrument that they would build a vertical house with before they would drop. In fact, I have one around here somewhere. A stone of 10. This is actually a plumb line right here. And they drop it. They drop it like this. And because of that weight at the bottom, it vertically aligns to perfection. And they would build with this. And they would build up vertically with a vertical line, because that's how they produced, so they wouldn't have the Leaning Tower of Pisa there. You know what I'm saying? So they would have this perfect vertical. So the plumb line was a vertical house. Amen? And that house, vertical, there was a lot in it. Now I want to take you back a minute to the conception of that house. How it started. We know how it's going to end. But let's go look how it started. Go to Genesis. We'll go back over to Genesis 28. Glory. And this is where Jacob dreamed. This is where God encountered him. Now it's amazing because God encountered Jacob as a swindler. I mean, this guy. I mean, he swindled his brother twice out of the blessing. He was not a perfect human being. He was very, very much unperfect. Him and his mom got together and he was a deceiver, a supplanter. But there's something about Jacob that knew something about the blessing of God. In fact, he grabbed his own brother's heel coming out. He wanted something that didn't even legally belong to him, but he got it. Listen, if you pursue God enough, you're going to grab it. Amen. You have to have that kind of tenacity. You have to want that. He knew enough to grab this. And so being separated here, God brings him to a place called Bethel, and he dreams and he sees something. He sees, he ends up calling this the house of Bethel, but it was a vertical house. He sees it in the beginning, and it was the way God was going to reestablish a nation. He was going to birth a nation. It wasn't the nation of Jacobites. He was going to birth a nation, and he did it from this encounter. He started it here with the encounter. And it was amazing because he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up, verse 12 of Genesis 28. He said, a ladder set up from the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descended upon it. So we know in this ladder, that's why I played that song, The Ladder, today. We know in this ladder, it was really annoying it too. We know the angelic hosts of heaven are involved in it, and they ascend and descend freely without resistance in an open heaven operation. And God literally, by way of the covenant of Abraham, he just opened that ladder for Jacob. In the end of this encounter, Jacob was on his face in the glory of God. He said, this must be the house of heaven, because Bethel means house of God. He goes, he was in the midst of a manifested glory. God encountered him with living glory, and he spoke something to him in a most powerful way. And he did so through or by way the face of God. He did not speak to him in time. There's a lot of words in your Bible that are beyond your present timeline. There's a frequency you can enter into the word of God that speaks of your end, your completion, things that are done. When your spirit can get honed in, that's what I tell people, if you got to get honed in the face of God, you got to listen to the face of God. If you listen to our series on face of God, you get tuned in. When you get tuned in, the Bible will start talking to you from another realm. The Bible can talk to you from the past. The Bible can talk to you in your present. And the Bible can talk to you about all your future. It can reveal it, a living panoramic view of who you are, completed and done. That's where you track. So God comes down and he speaks to him from the face of God. Now, King James didn't pick this up. You have to go to the literal, say literal version. So I'm going to read out of the Young's. They just literally translate, because Kings put some shalls in there that should not have been in there. The shall can hurt you at times, because a shall, I shall do this, means it's something that still has to be done. If something still has to be done, it's not done yet, right? So he's going to begin something here, and I gotta move, because this is like conference type teaching, but I gotta encapsulate a lot in a short period of time here, so. So he dreams this dream, and I'm gonna read out of the Young's, where I get this, if you wanna know how to read it out. I get it from Bible Hub. Bible Hub's awesome. Just type in Bible Hub, go to translations, and boom, it's all there. They have like four different literal translations. But here's how he says it, which is real important, because this is exactly the way God said it. And he said, and he dreameth, verse 12, and a ladder set up on the earth. Its head is touching the heavens. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the messengers or angels of God going up and down. And lo, Jehovah is standing upon it. He's seeing it. Woo. And he said, I, Jehovah, God of Abraham, thy father, and Isaac, the land on which thou art lying to thee, I give it. Say, I give it. Not shall give, I give. There's a difference between I give, because shall give is means still something has to happen. I give means, in fact, he's going to actually move him even further down the line as you listen to him. And thy seed, listen to this, this is amazing. And to thy seed and thy seed, and to thy seed and thy seed, he said twice, hath been. So I give it to thy seed. And he says, and thy seed, watch this, God says this, thy seed hath been as the dust of the land, and has broken forth westward, eastward, northward, southward, and all the families of the ground have been blessed in thy seed. And I am with thee, and I've kept thee whithersoever thou goest, and I've caused thee to turn back into this ground, for I leave thee not till I've surely done all that I've spoken. Notice how God's speaking to him from a different tense. Very important to see that God said, I give, and then he said, thy seed hath broken forth. Well, he doesn't have a seed yet. He hadn't even started yet. He's still Jacob. God hadn't got that, but he's conceiving a nation in this encounter. Your encounters with God are far more than just you. There, the Bible says in the last days that a small one will become a thousand and a strong one become a nation. There is a manifested glory releasing in these days with authority, dominion, and power. And so when God speaks, he speaks from the realm that he is. Jacob is still in time. But God is not in Jacob's time. God is in his own place. So all God did is he didn't speak to Jacob where he was. He transported him over. He said, come over here and let me speak some things about who you are. Thy seed hath been. You see that? It's important to understand where God was standing when he said that. Because a lot of times God can come speak to you in time. But God prefers to speak to you outside of time, where things are complete and things that are done. And here, because of this, he had to say it. Because when God says it like that, it's done. Because he's speaking from the done realm. So he conceives something that day, and then Jacob is in the glory, he bites the dust, he builds an altar, and he's like, oh my God, this must be the house of God. Who am I? But God had to do a few things, as we know. Jacob wasn't ready. None of us are ready. Woo, the stuff Lord used to tell me when we started. We have a t-shirt that I refuse to wear on January. That Pastor Chuck this year, when Matt was here, got a t-shirt. When we start saying, this is our year. How many of you heard of say, this is our year? So every January, if we don't birth out by December, I say, this is our year. So Chuck took it upon himself to go back at least to what, 2015? 10 years back, which we've been doing this a little bit longer than 10. Hallelujah. Some people, wow. To go a 9-month stretch with God is like that. It's no problem. And so they had this t-shirt. This is our year. And you got 2015 crossed out all the way down to 2025 crossed out. And they presented that to me while Matt was here. I'm like, thank you very much. So Chuck came and prayed one day because he prays on Mondays at the house. And so he was all sweaty playing pickleball. I'm like, thou shalt not sweat in the presence of God. Even God said that. He said, the priest shall bear linen. They shall not sweat. So I went and found him a t-shirt. And he wore that t-shirt. He tried to turn around. I said, now you go wash that thing and then bring it back. Praise God. And so this is our year. I don't know how I got onto that. But it doesn't matter because when God, oh yeah, because you always think you're ready. I mean, there was times, I mean, if it didn't happen this month, I'm going to be shocked, you know. I mean, it's just like that because God, when he taps you in this realm, you start thinking like him. You start talking like him. You start believing like him. You start acting like him sometimes. But getting over there, the part he needs over there the most is your belief system. Everything else, your circumstance will end up following. We want our circumstance to go first. God needs your belief system, a fourth dimension operation, the king or the priest inside of you, the eternal Christ, and he needs that over with him in the realm that agrees with him that's done. So it's a phenomenal realm. So he gets Jacob over. It's his first encounter, and then Jacob comes back and says, oh my God. And then he's got to encounter him again when his brother was coming out, and he's running from his brother, and he's on his way back, and all of a sudden, God encounters him, and that's the night he wrestles with the angel. But he wasn't just wrestling with an angel. Because he said, I've seen God face to face. The incarnate Lord came down. They were wrestling. And he broke his hip joint. And he said, God's saying, let go of me. Has God told you that yet? He said, I will not let you go. See, if you bind yourself to God's word, you're binding yourself to something he cannot not do. The only way you'll fail is to let go of that word. When it leaves your mouth, when it leaves the frontlets of your eyes, that's the only way. But as long as you have it, God will manifest that, even if he got to change you. So when he's done, he said, I won't let go until you bless me. And he comes back, he said, well, what is your name? Deceiver, swindler, because that's Jacob means supplanter. He goes, yes. But then God speaks to him. Because God doesn't see you where you are. Lift up your hands for that. Hallelujah. Man will judge you. People will judge you. But God doesn't see you where you're at. You see you where you're at. And your soul will try to drag you back in people's words. Try to drag you back into their image of who you are. But God's got another image. That's why you need to hang out with him. Because God will tell you what he thinks about you. God's thoughts toward you are more numerous than the sand of the seashore. If you hang out with him, you start thinking like that. Amen? So he says something to him, and this is in Genesis 32, I believe. I'm paraphrasing to get through. And so God says something. It's awesome. He said, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. He said, I'm a supplanter. This is where God is shifting. In the time of promise, there's going to be a shift. God's going to shift you out like he did Joseph. He's going to shift you out of who you were. He's going to shift you into his preordained image. But you got to not let go. People who let go can be drawn back. Nothing. I don't care how much promises you've got. You let go. When the children of Israel let go, he goes, my soul has no pleasure. But he says, those who don't let go, it takes something to not let go. Anybody can do this for a 3-month sprint. But how can you do it over time? The champions of faith will keep it forever. Like Caleb, 40 years, 85 years old. He said, listen, strength was in me then at 40. It's in me now, both the war. Come on, who talks like that at 85 years old? Give me thou for this mountain, their bread for me this day. You can't talk like that at 85 years old if you don't have something working on the inside of you. You have to have it inside. It's got to be worked. People don't like to work. They love to receive. Give it to me, Edwards. And God will do that. But then there's a time he wants you to stand and develop. So sometime we'll get into some serious circumstances that show up around our life. It's not designed to get you to fall apart. It's designed to get you to rise. And if you have something inside of you, when the devil gets active with me, there's just something that turns on with God. It just, I don't turn back. I turn up. Let adversary slingshot you into the next level. If your life is easy all the time, you're not going to develop much. But adversity can slingshot you into glory if you know how to use it. Amen? I learned how to walk up and down that mountain and exchange. Not because I was something, because I was not. I mean, when God looked at me, it was like, oh, let's go to the bottom of the barrel. That's perfect right down there, that one. With this issues, I'm like, God, could you just pick somebody with a few less issues? But those issues cause a lot of problems. Because when foolishness is bound up in somebody, it doesn't stay with somebody. It starts manifesting. When foolishness starts manifesting everywhere, everybody else gets to partake of your foolishness too. Isn't that good news? And so God's got to get that out. There was foolishness bound up in Jacob. God had something so far beyond. He goes, boy, Mr. Supplanter, deceiver, I'm going to birth a nation out of you. Kings will come out from your loins. Your seed will burst forth to the east, the west. And that day, God changed him. And this is how he did it. He said, what's your name? And he said, thy name is no, this is how it reads in the literal. It's verse 19 or 18. So that print has gotten really small. I don't know what happened. 28. I'm not reading from my normal print Bible. Hallelujah. Remember, I just got this in the shower. I had to go and take screenshots of these scriptures. And he said, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. You want to know what Israel? Do not listen to people online. The Rothschilds created Israel. God created Israel. This word was not even in the Bible till God created it from himself. He spoke it. He created a name, an identity to rename a champion, which a nation would come out of. No more call Jacob and Israel, for thou, watch this, has been. You're not a has been, but in the Father, you are, but not in the worldly sense. Thou has been a prince with God and with man, and thou dost prevail. Did he look like a prince with God? With man? He was in fear, running from his brother, supplanter, deceiver. This is the first revelation Jacob got of like, oh my God, my name is not Jacob anymore. God named me Israel. Why did God do that? Because God was not going to multiply Jacob. God does not multiply the Jacob in you. As much as I wanted God in 2015, 16, 17 to multiply the Atkinson, that wasn't who he was going to multiply. He's going to multiply the new identity. He's got one. He goes, I'm going to give you a new name. He says in the book of Revelation, you're going to get a new name. I call myself Abbasan. I might change my last name. I'm Abba's son now. When I'm in the courtrooms of heaven, I'm Abba's son. Not Atkinson. Abba's son. Amen. But he said, thy name hath been Israel. Hath been. It's the first time I've heard of it. So where's God speaking from? That day, Jacob, whoosh, come over here. Let's talk about who you really are. Gotta get a design. It's in the blessing of God. Everyone saying, well, I don't need any blessing. Well, this blessing goes beyond money. And most people who say they don't need blessing are the ones everybody else has to take care of. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The blessing is far more than money. The blessing is transformation. The blessing's generational transformation. God was going to do something in this place where he shifted him out. And he's going to take him back to the plumb line where he originally spoke to him. He's going to birth a nation from that plumb line. But he had to take him out and change him to bring him back in. He said, thy name hath been Israel, no more Jacob. When God says it, from the face of God, it's done. It might take you a little while to catch up. But that's what the blessing was. What was the blessing he got that day? He was already wealthy. What was the blessing he got? The transformation of identity that allowed God to multiply him and increase him on every side. A God design, what God himself says, that's it. That's the one. That's who I'm. I've got a new name. A nation's going to be named after you. To this day, that nation stands. Kings came out of that nation. Christ came out of that nation. Christ returning to reign over that nation. Ooh, chaka. Booyah. This is, tell you, shower anointing is quite an anointing. I think I'm going to lay hands on everybody for the shower anointing. Pow! I saw all this. I'm like, Lord, I don't even have time to prepare that. He goes, just do it in the sanctuary. You'll get it. Okay, so now, Now he's going to bring him right back to Bethel. Now he's ready. See, now he's ready. There's a time you're ready. Well, when would that be? Well, if it's not 2015, cross it out. If it's not 2016, if it's not 25, cross it out. God doesn't think in terms of your years. He thinks in terms of where he is and how long it's going to take for you to get where he is. Because where I am, there shall you be also. Your journey is to be where he is. Where I am. This is why you've got to get out from where you are. You'll never birth standing in the past. You'll never birth listening to people who want to bind you to the past. You'll never birth. If you're barraged by words, step out of where you are into the new identity. Ascend the mountain of the Lord and find your place. Find the Father's creative will for your life. So he brings him back to Bethel. Ooh, Bethel. To the place of the plumb line. Where the angels ascended and descended. God was birthing something that day. The plumb line's a birthing center. From heaven to earth. You remember what Jesus said to Nathanael? He said, I saw you up in the tree. He goes, but you will see the Son of Man. And from henceforth, you'll see the Son of Man ascending and descending. You'll see the angels ascending and descending. He was in the plumb line. Wherever he went, that plumb line manifested. It's a perimeter. I like to see it as a cylinder of fire. Our God comes with fire and his chariots is the whirlwind. He goes, I'll be a wall of fire around about you. If you want to be square, we'll have a square wall. I like a round wall. And he said, I'll be the glory within. We know there are angels there, so I don't need to ask for them. I know they're there. So I'm going to acknowledge their presence every day. I'm going to acknowledge the presence of the chariots of fire. I'm going to acknowledge the presence of the warriors, the breakers, even the cherubim coming out to be the glory within. I'm going to acknowledge the ministering flames sent to and minister on the behalf of the ears. I'm going to acknowledge the hornets. You know God has a class of angels called hornets. Whenever you see hornets, God has a class of angels. And the hornets do the same thing as a natural hornet would be flying up in your face. You are not going to stand in the presence of a hornet unless you just got a spirit stupid on you. Because a hornet, the first thing you do is, whoa. You ever watch those YouTubes where someone hits the hornet's nest? Whew. And they can't run fast enough. Them dudes are mean. God has a class of angels. He's the one, he sent those in the prophet. He goes, I'll send my hornets in front of you. That's when God was mad at him. He goes, I'll just send my hornets. I'm not going with you. I'll send my hornets. They'll do the job. And Moses, no, God, you got to go with this. Moses knew how to talk with God, changed his mind twice. He was awesome. God said, let's wipe them out. And Moses said, no. He goes, okay. He goes, because if you do that, they're going to say you didn't bring them in. You're unfaithful. He goes, okay, I'll send my hornets then. I'm not going to go with you. I don't like you right now. He goes, no, you can't do that either, God. And he went back and he's like negotiating with God. Even when God was like, hot. Them days, when you got on the bad side of God, you were in bad shape. He said, okay, my glory then. It's awesome. He returns him into Bethel. Now, Jesus showed Nathanael that plumb line was with him. It's a perimeter. It can increase as your faith increases. We know the plumb line can be around your house, your home, your business, your children. You can set the plumb line down. It's a perimeter where God operates, where you have authority, God ordained authority to speak to the enemy. Look, I'm not going to drop the plumb line over the whole earth right now. I don't need every battle like that. Drop it where God says you have authority. Drop it in your promise. Drop it in your house. But that plumb line is full of glory. And it's an open heaven. And it's the way he's bringing his house back down when he says, I set before you an open door. See, by him who has the key, he's bringing that house back into the earth through the same plumb line he built it with. This one, where promises are made, where nations come out of your loins, where God does things 1,000 years past your life because what you establish in your life. Ooh. It doesn't matter if you're a Jacob. Join the club. It doesn't matter. You can be Mary Poppins, just perfect. I wasn't Mary Poppins. I was Jack Daniels. You know, Jack Daniels is that's what I mean by an unrestrained life. I had an unrestrained soul. There are these people who have a perfect soul. They can just command their soul. Solomon said, I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking on the face of the earth. That's something that's seriously out of order there. The prince should have been on the horse. The servant should have been followed. And that was a foreshadowing of your life in divine order. The horse is the body. The servant's the soul. He's designed to follow, not lead. Definitely don't give your soul the reins of the horse. Holy moly. And the prince walking back there goes, hey, I'm the one that speaks to God here. I'm the one that knows God. I should be upon the horse. If you allow your spirit man, the prince, to get unseated, and you put the soul in charge, you're in Barney Rubble trouble. You're going to have issues. Because your soul can't lead you into the path of God. Not alignment factor. Amen? Well, if you were Jack Daniels and you were born again, they make great Christians because the same unrestrained flow gets up in your spirit and you just go for it, man. You get to go for it. I remember I was a week old in the Lord. I just read a Kenneth Hagin book about that size. Thank God he put Kenneth Hagin in my, I was a week old. I went to the beach with my buddy. This is a true story. And we were leaving and there was a bunch of people around and we stopped and some lady got hit by a car and she was screaming. They were putting on our stretcher. I'm like, we need to pray for him. Well, he's a more seasoned Christian, you know. He goes, well, pray, brother. Come on. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 blah. He goes, no, keep it quiet. He goes, we pray under breath here. I said, that lady, we need our hands laid on her. And he goes, no, you can't. And they're starting to put her in ambulance. I said, now or never. And I jumped up in the ambulance. She was screaming. I laid my hands on her. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. She looked up with those eyes like that. And I said, she's healed. She's healed. And they threw me out of the ambulance. But those are good days. Amen. Yeah, let the river flow. Wisdom will teach you a few things along the way, but there's still good days. You got to let the river flow. I don't know how I got onto that, but whatever. And so Israel comes back to the plumb line. There is a day Israel shows up on the plumb line. You're doing your thing, and all of a sudden God, oh, we have a new name. That's why when you go up, you unclothe, reclothe. In Christ, because that's the one God's going to multiply. You don't get your flesh out of the way and you keep asking God to do something. There's something in the way. That's why you got to get him out of the way. We go up to get the old man out of the way. So the new man, we bury the old man too, and we bring the new man. That's the one God's working with. But there's a day he's coming. I come for Israel. And so he says this, and I'll start my close. He says this in Genesis 35. It's just a remarkable transformation. Again, in the face of God, I want you to know how he talks to him. It's amazing. In verse 9, and God appeared to Jacob again. Verse 10, Genesis 35. And God said to him, I'm speaking out of the literal. Thy name is Jacob. Thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel is thy name. And God said to him, I am the Almighty God. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, an assembly of nations is from thee. Say a nation. Not shall be. You're going to have to get your faith out of the shall be territory. Because as long as your faith is shall will go, oh, I'm going to do it one day, you're on the wrong side of the equation.
If you want to walk with God and birth with God, you've got to get over into the realm that's done.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
But that's the truth. It's awesome praying outside of circumstance. Whatever the enemy does, I just leave the circumstance. It's not going to do you any good to dwell in your circumstance. That's not how you win. And he says, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and assembly of nations is from thee, and kings from thy loins go out. Say kings. That included King David. That included Solomon. That included the succession of the house and the throne of David that was established. It was birthed that day out of the place of the plumb line. God birthed something 6,000 years in front of him. Ultimately, God's thinking way bigger than us. We're thinking so minutely. And God's saying, I got a nation, kings, say kings. Your seed burst forth on the east and the west. Your life is meant to burst forth. Kings, come out of thee. That's how God talks. That's how he wants you to talk. You got to get to that place where it's done. You speak like that. That's why you hear us praying now. We pray a lot of past tense. So we come back in the earth and we speak into the now from the place we receive. Commanding authority. So he bursts out of the very place of the plumb line. And then Jesus tells Nathanael, you'll see the angels ascending. And then Zechariah 4 tells us, there's a plumb line coming in the last days. The same one that was with Haggai, who said, the glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. And the treasures, I'll shake all nations. And the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And the glory of this latter day house will be greater than Solomon's day. And the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundational return of this house. The hands do finish. Their eyes rejoiced to see the plumb line came out to be with the hands of the king. With those seven, he's the one going to establish it. He's coming out from the throne. Pretty awesome. Same plumb line that he birthed it out of. That's what I was looking at, Cheryl. Oh my God, it's the same plumb line. Same mechanism. Same open heaven. That's why I see, I'll see. When you see me doing this, I'm seeing the swirlings, the activation of the plumb line. It swirls around. And I'm going to close with this. My second close. The contents of the plumb line. If you see what's in it and declare what's in it, it'll activate for you. The plumb line. We know with those seven, so we know the seven spirits of God's coming out. The God said it twice, said it in Zechariah 4, said it in Revelation 5. He'll be sent forth in all the earth in the last days. Well, who is the seven spirits of God? Well, Revelation 1. Is this too much? Should we wait on another day for this? Revelation 1. Greetings from him who was and is to come, from the seven spirits of God and from the Lord Jesus. Who do you think he is? He's not named the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. You're not going to hear him named like that. The reason they call him the seven spirits of God, because he has another function now. He's bringing something out. There wasn't even available to the early church. He was lifting the throne out of the earth, not established. He's bringing it all back in. He's bringing the kingly element of the Lord Jesus in the time of his return. He's returning it into the church age. Before we leave, we will bear witness of the second coming glory in so many ways. But that plumb line is filled with things. I see when I pray, Jesus, King of glory, written from heaven to earth. I see that down the plumb line. I say that. You'll hear me do that. It's really not a Sunday morning message, but, you know, we've already gone for it, so might as well just, Tina's going, oh my God, you got to give them like breadcrumbs. That's what's wrong with the church. They get breadcrumbs all the time. You can't just keep feeding everybody Fruit Loops. Jesus, King of glory. There's a plumb line. There's a rod there, a staff. Chuck, Well, he was preaching and I saw the other half of what he was saying. It was very powerful. He said in the latter days, he would join the house of Joseph with the house of Judah and they'd become one in the hand of the Lord. If you understand what he does with the house of Joseph, he goes, it'll be like I don't cast Ephraim off. Well, Ephraim's the one that got the ark. God gave it to Ephraim, Joseph's son, as a gift for Joseph for what he did. So his son got the ark and went into Shiloh and was supposed to be there till Ephraim turned back in the day of battle. But Zechariah 10 says, it's going to be like I didn't cast you off. I'm going to restore your glory. I'm going to join you to the house of Judah. I'm going to make a rod in the hand of the Lord. And that rod's come down in the earth. That means the ark and the crown together again. Isn't that awesome? Touching down into the earth. It's important to those of you that are in the plumb line to see what God's doing. To see what he's given, what's returning, how it's returning. Because we're in the day of the plumb line now. And Pastor Chuck, this is our year. Oh, everyone say, this is our year. God has spoken some things. He's done some things. Our generation's already sent a trumpet out. The seven spirits of God have seven trumpet horns. They're going to blow. Freedom, liberty, breakthrough. They're trumpets of jubilee. You know what jubilee is? Jubilee from debt. There's a lot of forms of debt. Your body's still indebted to the law of sin. Freedom. Your soul indebted. Freedom. Your mind indebted. Freedom. Trespassers, indebtedness to relationships. Breakthrough. Financial breakthrough. Bursting forth. Out. This day, Father, I speak to the Father's house. Out from the face of God to see. The seed of this house burst forth into the north, south, east, and west. All they set their hands to do and be. For out of this house, from Jacob, we have become Israel. As a prince, we've reigned with you. Freedom and liberty now moves out with favor and glory too. For you go before us now in the face of God to see, to break the gates of brass and bars of iron for liberty. For a new day has come, the day of the Lord on high. For this is the day the Lord hath made. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. The day of the plumb line at hand. There's a ladder in this place. A ladder, a ladder, a ladder, a ladder of the promised land. For down the ladder flows the angelic host of heaven, we know. For the golden waters of generational inheritance returning into the earth. The administration of those waters birthing out half to the Dead Sea, half to the Great Sea. A glorious day, we know. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give God glory. I want you to stand up for a minute. Turn those lights out, guys. Fluorescence down. Just stand for a minute. Lift your hands. Now you understand there's a ladder. There's a ladder over your life. There's a ladder over your generations. There's a ladder over your home. There's a ladder over your business. There's a ladder over your promise. See it coming down. Up and down. Up and down. You walk up and down. In the last days, they will walk up and down in my name. And one, the small one becomes a thousand. The strong one becomes a nation.
There's a ladder in this place.